Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good morning to everyone. God bless you this morning and welcome to Healing School. Healing School is the place where people come to hear and to be healed. What a wonderful, wonderful morning to receive God's healing power in your life. Now, again, they came to what? Hear and be healed. I want to ask you a question this morning. Will you be healed this morning? You say, well, why are you asking me? Because it's really up to you. Now, let me tell you why. It's because Jesus have done his part already. Yeah, he have done his part. Now it's up to me and you to receive it. So what am I saying? Will you receive it? If you don't have it already, will you receive it? The scripture says in Mark chapter 11, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Whatever it is that you desire. So I'm sure you are desiring your healing this morning. If not, you wouldn't be here. So he said, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning to everybody again. If this is your first time in Healing School, welcome. We praise God for you this morning. And I want to encourage you, keep coming. They came to hear. See, faith cometh by hearing. They came to hear and be healed. Will you hear this morning? We're believing God for you to hear exactly what you need to hear. And what you need to hear is the word of God. People need teaching. The Bible said Jesus went around to all the villages teaching and healing all that was sick and that were oppressed of the devil and demons. He healed them all. Amen. Good morning, Prophet.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. And thank you for joining us this morning. Praise God.
Amen. Prophet, before we begin the teaching this morning, we have a wonderful testimony.
Amen.
That we're going to hear. Brother Mike, are you with us?
Yes.
All right. We can hear you real good. You can begin now.
Okay, you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Okay. Back years early on, I was going through this problem with emptying my bladder, and the urologist decided to put me on a catheter. So I've been on a catheter for several years. And anyway, make a long story shorter, as time went along, it started backing up into my right kidney. So the urologist decided something he was going to have to do. So he went into my back, into my kidney, and attached a bag on my leg to empty my kidney. And after that, things began to go haywire. It started bleeding and was bleeding into the bag, and I stayed in the hospital there for a few days, and then he decided to send me home, but the bleeding kept on, and he said if it kept on, he might have to give me some blood. But anyway, as things went, this bleeding continued, and as it continued, I went to the emergency room, and because I was afraid I was going to run out of blood, and when I went to the emergency room, they kept me for a day and a half. I stayed all night and then most of the next day, and they sent me home. And so anyway, it was bleeding into my bag from my kidney, and then it started bleeding into the bag from my urine. So as time went along, I got, it kept bleeding. And I went back to the hospital again, and they kept me another day and a half and sent me home. And then the bleeding had continued. And this time I was getting pretty worried about it. So anyway, Larry called me and he said, "What's the matter?" And I told him my problem. And Larry, he told me, he said, "Well, let's pray." And so he prayed for me. And do you know the bleeding stopped? Has never come back, and it hadn't bled since. But anyway, and then I went later on into the hospital, and they taken this thing out of my back and removed the bag. Anyway, there we are. Prayer works. And it works immediately. I mean, it was no time at all. It just quit blood to stop, stop having blood right away. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
Thank you,
Lord. Amen.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
God is good, isn't he?
All the time.
Praise God. Praise God.
Yes, he is.
Well, brother, let me tell you, that's only one, but there's more to come. More and more and more. Again, the scripture said they came to hear and to be healed. I know you had faith to be healed. I could hear it in your voice. It was there. Now, folks, all of this happened over the telephone. Thank you, brother, for sharing that testimony with us. Amen.
Amen.
Well, prophet, praise the Lord, huh?
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Glory be to Jesus.
That's so fitting with our subject this morning. Christ is our substitute. Amen. That is so fitting. He took it all in his own body, right?
Yes, he did.
Amen.
Yes, he did. Go ahead, take it away.
Well, that's what we've been talking about. And thank you so much for sharing that, Brother Mike. Just listening to you, you can hear faith. You said you knew he had faith to be healed.
Absolutely.
You know, that's about all it takes, Apostle.
Yes.
If we have faith, the Bible says we can do anything if we believe.
Amen.
God is able to do anything. All we have to do is just believe him. And just listening to his whole story, I was just amazed. It was just amazing how things progressed. But he kept the faith. He didn't cave in and quit. You know, sometimes people just, well, I guess it's like that experience I share with you when we were talking last week about this experiment they did, this research they did,
mm-hmm.
two groups of people. And they both were diagnosed with cancer. And they wanted to study, you know, the flow of and how important words are and how these people responded made a tremendous difference in their health. So one group, it's two in each group, and they started, when they heard the diagnosis of cancer, they started preparing their funeral. They started talking about, you know, what they wanted to be done in their life and their last will and testament. And I'm not knocking them because, you know, they didn't know the word.
Right.
But they just talked about those things. But the other group left the doctor's office and started speaking the word of God. They said, "Okay, thank you, doctor, but we know what to do." And they went and got the word of God and began to speak the word of God over what the doctor had said. And lo and behold, we know the truth. We know the truth will make us free, right? A lie keeps us in bondage, but the truth will make us free. So the group that began to prepare for their funeral, eventually, in a short period of time, they did die.
Yeah.
But the two that began to praise God and thank God for their healing and continued in faith, even though the condition, the symptoms were still there, they stayed positive, just like we heard this morning from Brother Mike. He stayed positive, and he called for prayer, or you called him, however it went, I don't know, but when you prayed, he said, it stopped. Well, we know that's because he was in faith.
Absolutely.
We have to believe. So I am so grateful when we find people of like faith.
Praise
Amen.
God.
And Amen. Those people, the moral of the story, they lived. They lived because their faith was in the word of God.
That's right.
Like we are so often reminded of over in Mark chapter 5, Mark chapter 11 and verse 2. And it says, have faith in God. Jesus answering and said unto them, have faith in God. Isn't that powerful? Have faith in God. It's contingent upon everything. It's the foundation for everything. It's the platform. It's the jumping off place, as my father in the gospel used to say. It's the everything place. If we want to receive something from God, we must have faith in God.
Amen.
He has a part to play, but we have a part to play. He gives the healing. He provides the healing, but we must receive it in faith. So that was so wonderful. That's what I heard this morning. So I wanted to start off with that. Thank you so much, Brother Mike. Yes, we've been talking for 2 weeks now about, this is the second week, Christ was your substitute. And last week we said something about God not having favorites.
Right.
Not having favorites. So I want to look at, pick it up right there in one of the scriptures we talked about on last week. First John 5, 11 through 12. Whoever has the Son has life. And this is the record that God had given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Verse 12.
That's
he
right.
that hath the Son had life. And he that had not the Son of God had not life. You have the same eternal life that Jesus had. He that had the Son had life. You have the Son, you have the life. Isn't that awesome? You have the Son, you have the life. You are his righteousness. You have the same righteousness we all do. I do, you do, we all have. If we're born again, we have the same righteousness as Jesus. Stop me wherever you want to, Apostle. I'm just going to go through.
You're doing good.
Doing a recap of what we did on last week. Him who knew no sin, God made to be sin on your behalf, that you might become the righteousness of God in him. That's 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. We looked at that on last week. Praise God. Now, all authority is in the name. We touched on that a little bit, too. You say this with me. We made a declaration, remember? So this is what we declare. Jesus declares that whatever I ask in his name, he will give it to me. Fearlessly, I take my place. I lay my hands upon my loved one who is sick, and I say, in the name of Jesus, disease, leave their body. Demons, leave their body. Go off into the abyss where you belong. Don't you ever touch this loved one again. We made that declaration on last week. And that's pretty much what prayer is. We declare, we must decree, we must say. And that's what happened, I believe, when Apostle and Brother Mike prayed. A declaration was made, the decree was made, but he received it. Amen. Christ said that whoever believes should lay hands on the sick. And see, we do that in faith. We do that in faith. Amen. So the Father, here's where we want to start off today. He has no favorites. You might say, well, that worked with Jesus. That worked for, you know, Uncle Benny and Aunt Alice, but not me. He has no favorites, guys. He has no favorites. It was great. It was a great comfort, you know, when we came into the knowledge of the truth that he had no favorites.
Yes.
That all the children of God have their own place in his heart. He loves each one of us the same as he loves Jesus. Wow. Can you believe that? He loves you and I as much or the same as he loves Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus said that the world may know that thou lovest them even as thou lovest me. Mm-hmm. We all have the same redemption.
That's right.
The work that he's wrought in Christ absolutely destroyed the power of the enemy. And now he's redeemed every person who can accept Christ as Savior and confess him as Lord. Yes. That's who gets to be redeemed. You did that. I did that. You received him as your Savior. You confessed him as your Lord. So guess what? You are the righteous. You are the redeemed. That there's no favoritism. That's the only criteria to becoming redeemed. And that is to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart.
Yes.
So that redemption is from the works of the adversary and from his dominion over our lives. See, that's what sets us free. We are redeemed from the curse. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord what? Say so. We have to say so. You and I have to make that declaration. We have to say that we are redeemed. And there is something we say all day, every day. Every day we make declarations. The beginning of the day, we get up and we speak the word of God over our lives. Amen. And that's what set us apart from people who just hear something and just lay down and die. Amen. We all are attacked with sickness and disease, every one of us. But it's how we respond that makes all the difference. That's when right. You know you are the redeemed, then you're going to act accordingly. You see it? And that's Satan right. Doesn't want you to know the truth, because one of the things that he knows about us, when we know the truth, we will respond truthfully. Come on. It's the truth that you know that makes you free. Come on in
the Bible. That's right. The scripture says, whosoever shall say, Mark 11:23, whosoever shall say unto this mountain of this problem, the mountain is the problem, it's the sickness, it's the disease, whatever the problem is, that's the mountain. But notice what he said about it. Whosoever, I'm a whosoever, shall say to the mountain, to the problem, to the sickness, be removed. You see it? You activate the power of God by speaking. You release your faith by speaking. Somebody said, I believe God. Yeah, you have to. But that's not all you need to do. You need to speak. You need to open your mouth and say, like the prophet brought out, listen, you have to speak. You've got to speak to that problem. That's what Jesus said to do. Many people want to be healed, but they don't want to follow his orders. Well, how are you going to be healed if you don't? As we always tell you, this is a word planet. It is activated by voice. It's activated by words. And God gave you a mouth to overcome everything in the world that's against you. You have to open your mouth and speak. Amen. You got to open your mouth and say. All right.
Praise God. So true, Apostle. And so today, that was our review, believe it or not. So today we want to start right here with the living word. Amen. The living word.
Yes.
So we've looked at the fact that we are the redeemed. We've looked at the fact that God has no favorites. He has his part, but we have our part, and that is we must believe the word of God, and we must make those declarations of faith over our lives, right? So we've covered that. We reviewed that this morning, and he has no favorites. He loves us even and as much the same way he loved Jesus.
That's right.
So the living word, we'll pick it up right here. The problem of healing, though, is The healing problem is a problem of the integrity of the word. Now, let me say that again. Mm-hmm. The problem, though, of healing is a problem of the integrity of the word. Well, what are you saying? Many have never recognized it, but the word is the healer today. I'm going to say that again.
That's good.
Many people have not realized this. Many of them haven't even heard it before. But the word of God, the word of God is the healer today. Well, if you believe that, if you really believe that, and I do, and I know you do, because you wouldn't be in healing school every Saturday morning if you did not believe the word of God, in the word of God. But what we sometimes overlook is the word itself is the healer. Okay, let me put it in another way. Let's say, I don't know about you guys, but in our home, we have what's called Neosperm. We keep it in our, you know, little emergency kit. Everybody's got one of those, a little, you know, kit for cuts and bruises, where you keep your Band-Aids and all that kind of little medical kit. And so in ours, we keep some, it's an ointment called, we had several ointments, but this one is called Neosporin. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just using it as an example. So when a cut or something, a bump, a bruise occurs, we go get the Neosperm and we apply it, because the Neosperm is what causes that brings on that condition of healing. Okay, we can just put a Band-Aid on it and it'll just continue to bleed if there is a cut, an opening in the skin. But when we apply the Neosperm has something infused inside of it that immediately when we put it on, it's like a sealant. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And it seals, it begins to seal that wound up. That's and then we apply the Band-Aid and it heals faster. So I just use that as an example because the Neosperm is really contains the healing agent that causes the bumps and bruises and cuts and scabs to heal quicker. Well, that's what we're saying. The word of God is the healer. Now you can walk around saying, yeah, you know, I have this problem. I have that problem. And we do. This is because this is who we are. This is, come on guys, we've been living like this for a long time. Well, I have a headache. I have high blood pressure. I have diabetes. I have cancer. I have whatever. But just because we confess that, that's not going to cause it to be healed. Even if we confess, well, I want to be healed. That's not going to cause the oozing is going to continue. The blood, everything is going to continue. The pain is and all suffering and all everything that's going on with that area is going to continue. Yeah, because we're talking about it, but here's the key: we're not talking to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that again: we're talking about it, but we're not talking to it. You say, what do you mean talking to it? Well, just what I said. Unless you speak the word of God to that area, you heard what I said? Unless you apply the word of God to that area, how do you apply it? See, the Neosperm is in a little tube. We squeeze it with our hand. We squeeze it out. That's how we apply it. And then we take a toothpick and we just, you know, rub it. Not a toothpick, a Q-tip. And we apply it all over the affected area with the Q-tip.
Mm-hmm.
And then we put the Band-Aid over it. Now, how do you apply the word of God? I just said, you have to speak the word of God to that affected area. How do you do that? How do you apply? You speak it. You don't rub it on. Hello, somebody. No, you have to speak it to that area. So let's give an example. If it's high blood pressure, you have to say, in the name of Jesus, I'm speaking to my blood right now. And I say, blood, the pressure in this body is 120 over 80, not a point higher, not a point lower, 120 over 80. Are you listening to me? In the name of Jesus. Praise that's Jesus. The key right there. That's the key. It's in the name. Hello? It's in the name. Name of Jesus, I'm speaking to this, my pressure. And I say you are 120 over 80 in the name of Jesus. Anything, if that pressure is way up there in the 200s, you say, all right, get back down. not top number. Get back down here where you belong. You are 120 and not a point higher in the name of Jesus. If that bottom part is just, you know, out of sorts, come on. I want you to be 80. Come on. Get back down there.
That's right.
Yeah. You go to the doctor, sometimes it's 100. No. You get back down. I want you to be 80. Sometimes it's even low. You got low blood pressure. All right, get back up. In the name of Jesus, I want you to be 80. You think I'm kidding? I'm not.
That's right.
What am I doing? I'm applying the word of God just like I applied the Neosperm. You got to become master builders and keepers of your own health.
Yes.
And it's in the word of God. The word of God is the healer, and you have to know how to apply it. We have all kind of books with the word of God in it. I thank God. I always recommend one that Charles Capps has out, and it's in that book. You know, it has a healing prescription in it. Isn't that awesome? I think it's so neat. I use it. I do.
Praise
Jesus. I don't just recommend it. I use it myself. And I love it. And it said, it starts speaking to everything in the name of Jesus. As my heart functions in the perfection that God created it to function. Sickness and disease have no power over me. God's word is my confession. Day after day, I do it. You can do it too. What are you doing? You realizing that the word is the healer, and you're applying that word. Just like you would apply the Neosperm. See, we sometimes miss it. That's why we say the problem of healing is it's a problem of integrity of the word. You don't understand you don't know how to use it. But that's okay. After today, you will.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's why we come to healing school. We don't come to preach to you. We don't come to and again, let me say this. I'm not against preaching. I love a good preaching sermon. We all like to get our emotions up in the air. We all like to jump and shout and praise God. I do. But there's a time for teaching.
That's right.
And healing school is the time and place for that. Amen. And we're so glad you came and that you continue to come, because that's how you're going to be healed. God, I'm going to say that again. The word is the healer. Come on in, Apostle.
You know, you talk about the name of Jesus. I heard a wonderful, powerful testimony a few days ago about this man. He was in his garage, and he had a workbench out there that he had made, wooden workbench. And he dropped something on the floor, and he bent down to pick it up. And when he was coming back up, his head hit, you know, a little underneath the table. And this nail went into his head, and here come the blood. This is what the man did. He started calling on the name of Jesus. He just kept saying the name of Jesus, and the blood stopped. He noticed. So he went to the bathroom in his house. Now he's looking in the mirror at where the nail hit. He decided, thank you, Lord, the blood stopped. Praise you, O God. Thank you, Jesus, that the blood stopped. He decided to keep calling on the name of Jesus. He said he saw where the scar was. It had started closing up where the blood was coming out. The blood stopped. Not a scar sitting there. He kept calling on the name of Jesus. Do you know the scar closed up altogether? You can't ever tell that it ever was there. See, the name of Jesus, that name that's above every other name. Child of God, it's good to have the name of Jesus in your emergency kit. Amen. There is only one kind of healing. There's only one kind. There's a man told me one time, well, I don't believe in healing. I said, well, when you need to, you will. He said, what do you mean? When you need to, you will. Let me tell you something. I kept talking to him. And I said, you told me one time you had injured your knee. And it needed stitches. Did you go get the stitches? He told me yes. I said, well, let me ask you this then. You went and got the stitches. How is your knee doing? I said, because I want to come and pray for you. Oh, I thank you, but I don't need you to come now. It's then healed up. I say, it's then what? See, he don't believe in healing, he said. But yet he said it has healed up. That's exactly right. God has placed healing on the inside of every last one of us.
Amen.
That man was so shocked that he said it healed up. So when I brought to his attention, there's only one kind of healing. Just one. The name of Jesus is more powerful, but there's only one healing. And the healing one healed you. Oh, Brother Elder. But you're right. You see what I'm saying to you?
Absolutely.
Healing is on the inside of you. God placed it there.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely. And we must begin to operate that way. When we do that, we will find that the answers we're looking for are right there in the Word of God. Yes. They are right there in the Word of God. And all we have to do is make sure that we apply it. Amen?
That's right.
Glory to God. And so that's how it works. Praise the Lord.
Yes. Healing belongs to you. I want you to follow me now. Healing belongs to you. Jesus went to the cross so you can be healed. See, a lot of people say, well, you know, if you ask them, why did Jesus go to the cross? They'll say, well, he went to save me from my sins. That's true, but that's not all the truth. We alluded to it. We alluded to it again this morning, but we often allude to it in Galatians chapter 3. In verse 13, Christ have redeemed us. Christ is not going to. He already has.
Yes.
Christ have redeemed us from the curse of the law.
Praise the Lord.
Now, he's our substitute, right?
Yes, he is.
Being made, the scripture said, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hang on a tree. What does the curse of the law consist of? Poverty, three things. Poverty, number one. Number two, sickness. And number three, spiritual death. So you have been redeemed from sickness. Jesus took it in his own body. He bore it for us. We don't have to. We're not built to do that. Did you know that? He redeemed you from it. What does that word redeem mean? He took it away from you. He took you out of the curse and he put you in the blessing. Glory to God.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
If he put us in the blessing, he put us in his name. The name. The name. Hashem. For my Jewish brothers and sisters. What does that mean? The name. Hashem means the name. Glory to Jesus. His name is like no other.
Amen.
His name can do what no other name can do. It's higher than any other name. And when you call on that name, Jesus, knowing that you know that you know. He's right there to help you.
Yes.
Receive it.
Amen.
Because it's right there.
It's right there. Right there.
The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, that word save also means healed.
Amen.
Praise God. All right.
Praise the Lord. So we must begin, I like that, Apostle, that the name, everything is in the name and also in the word. We have to begin to make that association, that connection between the word of God and his name. That's where the power is. Amen. Praise the problem God. Of healing is a problem of the integrity of the word. So many have never recognized it, but the word is the healer. Excuse me. God in Christ wrought a perfect redemption. In that redemption, there is perfect healing for every believer. But because of a lack of knowledge of the word, see, so many Christians remain sick even yes. today. Amen.
That's right.
Psalms 107 and 20 is a perfect illustration of this. It says, he sent. Listen, child of God, he sent. He's not bringing it. He's not going to bring it. He sent it already. He sent his word and healed them. Not send his word to heal them. Because when the word shows up, it will do its job.
That's right.
Amen. Are you allowing the word of God to show up? Are you taking the word, taking God at his word? I mentioned to you a few minutes ago, I use my blood pressure or your blood pressure, anybody's blood pressure as an example. So there's something even in that little book, you know, that Brother Capps put in there about our blood. He says, thank you, Father. I have a strong heart. My heart beats with the rhythm of life. My blood flows to every cell of my body, restoring life and health abundantly. That's coming from Proverbs 12 and 14 and Proverbs 14 and 30. He goes on to say, my blood pressure is 120 over 80. The life of God flows in my blood and cleanses my arteries of all matter that does not pertain to life. Mark 11, 23. Yeah, see, it's not an exact quote of the scriptures, but this is what the scripture is saying. You can take the scriptures and make positive declarations over your body. That's how you apply healing to your body. And you say that. You get up every morning, you make those confessions. My heartbeat is normal, even though your heart may not be normal, but because you are saying it, you're calling for that what? To come into manifestation. That's Let me give you a good example right there. If you have some animals, got a cat and a dog, well, you want the dog. So you're going to go and you're going to call the dog. The dog's name is Rover. The cat's name is Fluffy or whatever. So you're going to call Rover. You say, here, Rover, here, Rover. Well, if you want the dog, you're sure not going to call the cat, right? Hello, somebody.
Right.
You're not going to call Rover you're not going to call the cat if you want the dog. So this is what we do when we call, when we speak Psalms 107 and 20 over our blood pressure, and we want the word to heal our abnormal heartbeats and stuff like that. Yeah, my heartbeat is normal. What are you doing? I'm calling for that to happen. My heartbeat is normal, even though it may not be. My heartbeat is normal. What are you doing? I'm calling for my heart to be normal. So you say it, remember? So my heartbeat is normal. My heart beats with the rhythm of life, carrying the life of God throughout my body, restoring life and health abundantly. That's coming from John 17, 23 and Ephesians 2 and 22.
Yes.
Are you listening? You're calling for that with your mouth. I have a strong heart. Every heartbeat floods my body with life and cleanses me of disease and pain. I command my blood cells to destroy every disease, germ, and virus that's trying to inhabit my body. I command every cell of my body to be normal in Jesus' name. Every cell that does not promote life and health in my body is cut off from its life source. My immune system will not allow tumors growth. Are you listening? What am I doing? I'm calling for this. With my mouth, I'm calling for it. But what we do, we sometimes continue to repeat the problem.
Yes.
So if you continue to recite the problem, you know what you're doing, right? You're calling for the problem to what? Stay.
That's right.
Because you are created this way.
Yes.
You're created to have what you say. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget Mark 11 that tells you that you will have what you say. Don't ever forget Mark 11, 23. It says, speak to the mountains, tell the mountains to be removed, doubt not in your heart, but believe that what you say shall come to pass. Watch this, and you'll have what you say.
That's right.
You are created to have what you say. So why sit around and keep rehearsing the problem? We know the problem is there. You know it's an abnormal heartbeat. You know that the blood pressure is through the roof. You know that. But call for the answer. Call for the healing, not for the problem.
Yes.
Are you listening? So that's why we need to make these confessions over our body. And trust me, when you make them in faith, not just you know, like you're shooting out bullets. No, put some heart in it. Let God know you believe his word. Let him know you are receiving this. It's not just something you do and ape and imitate. You're not just doing it because we asked you to. You might start out that way. But you know what? Over a period of time, you should start developing faith in what you're saying.
That's right.
That's when the healing is going to kick in. So 107:20 is a perfect illustration of this. He sent his word. Well, if he sent it and healed me, I have to believe it. I have to believe it until I see it manifest. He sent his word. So you send it. You say, right now, I'm sending the word of God to this body. I'm sending the word of God to this deformed heart. I'm sending the word of God to this high blood pressure. I'm sending the word of God to this diabetes. I'm whatever it is, send the word of God to it. And it will line up. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The 14th verse of John 1, and the word became flesh. See it? And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
That's
grace
good.
And truth. That is the word that he sent. He sent grace. He sent truth to you.
Mm-hmm.
He had sent his spoken word through the prophets as well.
That's right.
So this living word was made flesh. And so when you and when Apostle and I get on every Saturday morning and we share the word, you know, say, I don't see, like, okay, so maybe you can't see us. But you know what? That's not the most important thing. I pray, God, you can hear us. Amen. I thank God for social media. I thank God for online media. I thank God that you can sit in the privacy of your home and hear the word of God and hear the word of truth and participate in it and begin to receive it. You don't even have to give dress if you don't want to. You don't have to get it in your automobiles and drive across town. And for once, that's all well and good. We all like to come together at sometimes on a Sunday morning. It's good to fellowship, but you don't always have to do that. Modern technology today, you can sit in the privacy of your home and listen to the word of God.
Yes.
You know, and then you can go into our podcast and revisit it again and back us up and make us say it again over and over again. This is how I learned. This is how I was introduced to the word of God. Cassette tapes. Remember the cassette tapes back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
Well, my father in the gospel, he had cassette tapes. And, you know, when I get those cassette tapes, I back him up and make him say it again. Back him up and make him say it again. Back him up and make him say it again. Oh. And you can do the same thing. Amen.
Yes.
But the word of God is there. We don't give you just anything that we feel or what we think. You know, some things, sometimes people do that, but we try not to give you that. We want to give you the truth. And that is the word of God. We get so criticized sometimes for saying God is a healer. Some people don't want you to hear that. Did you know that? They want you to constantly depend on medication. Now, again, we're not against the medication because we all take medication. But you take the medication with the word of God, I promise you it'll work faster.
Oh, that's good.
It will. Praise you know, if you God. Have to swallow a pill, say, in the name of Jesus, I take it. And I thank you, Father, I'm healed.
Praise
and
Jesus.
The doctor,
right.
he's gonna verify. What have you been doing? Something's working. What's going on? Well, we know what it is. We're taking the word of God, aren't we?
That's right.
Of course. Why should we just take those old pills and not take the word of God along with it? Come on, guys. We got to get wise. So Amen. He unveils the life-giving word in the gospel and in his epistles. John 6 and 63, Hebrews 4 and 12, in the Moffat translation says, "The words that I have spoken unto you are spirit and they are life." Praise See, the God. Words that Apostle and I are speaking to you, they are spirit and they are life.
Amen.
For the Logos of God is a living thing. It's active and more cutting than any sword with double edges.
That's right.
Penetrating to the very division of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, scrutinizing the very thoughts and concepts of the heart. Isn't Amen. That powerful?
Amen. That's good. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. So the word becomes a living thing only as we act upon it. I'm going to say that again. The word of God becomes a living thing operating in and through us only as we act upon it. Act upon it. We share that with you. We shared a little bit how to apply Neosperm ointment, and then we share, you know, in that same vein, that's the same way we have to apply the word of God. That's what he's talking about when we say we have to act upon it. We have to apply it. How do we apply it? No, we don't rub it on. We speak it on.
That's right.
That's what it means to act upon the word of God. So the word is good speaking. It's good speaking. You know, say, you're not speaking good English. Well, you know, we know that's talking about different languages, but we're now talking about the sincere milk of the word of God. And the word is good speaking. If you're speaking the word, you're speaking good. It's always a present tense fact. You might say that the word is always now, just as God is always now.
That's right.
So if you find yourself speaking futuristic about your faith, and we do that, come on, don't we, Apostle? God is going to heal me.
Yeah.
I'm going to be healed. I'm going to get my healing. We must remember that faith is present tense, because the Bible says now faith is. That's Hebrews 11 and 1. Now faith is. See, not going to be tomorrow, next week. No, now faith is. We tend to get stuck there sometimes because, again, we are creatures of this third dimensional world. And we have been trained to speak like, I'll believe it when I see it. But that is not faith. Amen. Faith says, I believe it, even though I don't see it.
That's right.
And that's why faith is always right now. If God said you're healed, you say you're healed. If God said he sent his word, you say he sent his word. If God said by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed, you say by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed, even though the pain is still right there.
Yes.
But when you speak it, see, speaking it is a very, very part of what? Receiving it.
That's right.
It's a very important step to actually causing it to what? Work in your life. So never hesitate to speak the word of God. Speaking the word of God is good speaking.
That's right.